Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. And we, of course, would love to hear from you. So please give us a call, 347-826-7435. That would be the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You can always reach us by emailing us questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Speaking of smoothdrama.com, we are always having a good time in our chat room. So you can go to smoothdrama.com and jump into the chat room. It's anonymous, so you don't have to worry about signing in and picking a name or anything like that. It automatically gives you a name. Also, because we like to do stuff like integrate with you, you can hit us up on social media. For example, if you have Facebook, I always say you can jump into the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. J, he of the shiny whiskers and other shiny body parts, will add you to the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. J of the shiny body parts will add you to the group. He never calls in when I diss him like this. It's kind of funny. Also, anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us and we'll add you back. And we can talk a taste about whatever. Now, of course, we spend our time talking about the apocalypse. You know, it's a gift that keeps on giving, right?
Every day it's something new.
Every day, yes. And so, where do we start? For example, the crazy things that's happening out here. In New Mexico, birds are dropping dead in alarming numbers, like hundreds of thousands of birds are just dropping dead in New Mexico. Clusters of dead birds. It's weird, right? Because periodically, it seems like every year, every other year, we just get a bunch of animals just dying, and they die in masses, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just wonder, what the hell?
Why? It's the environment. Everything is shifting.
You think it's the environment?
Oh, I definitely think it's the environment.
Okay. All right.
There's more people. There's more pollution. There's less habitat for them to be in because we're building more. I mean, yeah. And when I say the environment, I don't necessarily mean like the weather. I mean like
the
world itself, like, you know, like the habitat that they need to, you know, have to thrive. They don't have that.
I get that, but I'm just saying though, when you start talking about hundreds of thousands. I get it. If something happens, there's an accident somewhere, and, you know, a few birds die, right? A few birds.
So do you think they're being poisoned?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to suspect that it's some kind of poison. When you say hundreds of thousands, so, I mean, remember the phenomenon when all those fish were washing ashore? I think it was like a year ago, year and a half ago. It just a bunch of fish just washed up on the beach, dead.
Yeah, but you never hear about it, like, afterwards. So, you can only speculate. Like, they never do any follow-up stories on things like that.
No, I mean, because if you investigate it, you're going to get down to the root cause. We know that somebody's doing something wrong. But obviously,
Yeah.
All right. I mean, because that's not a natural phenomenon. I mean, unless we're talking about that's how the dinosaurs died. All of them just died at once, hundreds of thousands of them, just like that. You just washed ashore and you died. Or they were just flying, reptiles were just flying and boom, they just fell out the sky because they went through the wrong cloud or something. I don't know. I would say it's suspect. Now, some folks would say, because when you say conspiracy theory, folks will automatically say, yeah, here we go, talking about conspiracy theories, but I just beg the question. You know, and the question is, if a bunch of things die at the same time, you know, that's kind of weird.
Definitely weird. And I don't know. I hate to say that everything is a conspiracy theory. I mean, because sometimes it's just somebody doing something stupid. It's not necessarily to do, when I think of a conspiracy theory, I think of them to do harm and have an intent. You know what I mean? It's I'm doing this because of that. So it could be somebody that's just poisoning birds because they're just sick. It's not necessarily a conspiracy against anything.
Well, I mean,
it just happens.
Yeah, well, this is something, it's unexplained. When hundreds of thousands of birds just die in one area. Hundreds of thousands of birds have died. This is a fact. And nobody's investigating. It's like, oh, well, yeah, it's just messed up. I mean, for me, if I see a bunch of dead anything around where I live, I'm concerned. I'm actually scared to death. I'm like, you know what? I probably need to go on vacation somewhere. I just need to leave the area at that point in time. I mean, that's how I think. Because I just wouldn't think if I went outside and I saw thousands of squirrels dead. That would be kind of spooky, right? Be kind of spooky. Yeah, you just walk out and you walk out and you just see just squirrels dead everywhere.
Kind of spooked out.
Yeah, just a little bit. But you know, we just gonna chalk that up. That's a conspiracy theory. That's just something that crazy people talk about. I mean, even though it has physically happened, it's just I'm just putting too much on it. That's what we're doing. We're putting too much on it. I mean, it's not disconcerting. Carry on, New Mexico. Carry on. Whatever you're doing, you outside scratching your balls, whatever you're doing in New Mexico, carry on. I'm talking about another conspiracy theory, though.
What might that be?
Michael Caputo. He's the Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson. He says he's going to go on, he may take medical leave. This comes after he did a 26-minute Facebook rant talking about conspiracy theories, saying he was warning of an armed insurrection by left-wing groups after the election. And he's saying his mental health has failed. He predicted that Trump will win the election and then Joe Biden will not concede. And when Trump refuses to stand down at the inauguration, the shooting will begin.
What?
Yeah. He said that on Facebook Live. Now, he's saying that Trump gonna win the election and Joe Biden and apparently a whole bunch of Democrats are gonna be like, nah, fuck that, son. We gonna make you leave. And they gonna have their guns and they gonna shoot. And that's when everybody's gonna be on and cracking. That's what Michael Caputo said.
Well, is that a conspiracy theory or is that a threat?
No, that's just batshit crazy.
That's
batshit crazy. I mean, because we are talking about, one, Trump said, if I lose, I'm not going to accept the results. I mean, he said that. He started this. Then, on top of that, he also says, you know what? I'm thinking I win this election. I deserve a third term. So, I'm going to ask for it. So, yeah. So, he doesn't sound like a dude who wants to leave the Oval Office at all. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to stay president. I like stealing. And if I can stay president, I mean, I'm guessing he's looking like, well, hey, Putin get to stay as long as he wants. Why can't I do it? That's what it sounds like to me. You know, because there's an overall consensus out there from people that he's doing such a fantastic job that, shit, why not stay? Yo, president. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He was on there talking crazy like that. Yep. They gonna be out there and they're gonna start shooting because they not gonna accept that Donald Trump is president. You have to look up Michael Caputo. Oh, crazier than a month. I mean, that's A1 right there. That's A1 batshit crazy.
Yeah, he is, definitely.
Yep. So, yeah. That's your spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services. I think if you call that office, you probably won't talk to the secretary.
And
maybe. I don't know. You don't want to talk to him. Because obviously, he is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yeah.
Very much so. And that whole thing is
crazy. That's the apocalypse for you, baby. This shit right here. The fuck is just start talking Looney Tunes. For example,
yeah, I mean it's to be expected.
Yeah, but I ain't even touched the tip of the iceberg. So you probably don't remember Star Wars: Phantom Menace, the first of the prequel. Remember that movie?
They all kind of blend in. I mean, in a way, is when Anakin became Darth Vader?
No, it's the first one when they first found him, right? So there is Jar Jar Binks. You remember Jar Jar Binks?
Yes, I do.
Right, and so Jar Jar Binks wasn't universally loved. we can say that the character kind of was booed. That character was so bad that there was a Star Wars fan who went in and edited the movie and took every scene that Jar Jar Binks was in out of the movie and then posted it online. Wow. To millions of views. Wow. Yes, it was that bad, right? So, why am I bringing up Jar Jar Binks? Well, the guy who played Jar Jar Binks, actor Ahmad Best, you know, he came out and said he was overwhelmed by the amount of support and kindness that he received because he almost took his life because of the criticism of that character, which is like, you know, you're being a racist caricature, but that was important to you. We ain't gonna
That's crazy because who would know that it was him except, you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was the computer imaging thing.
Exactly.
I didn't even know he was a real, you know, I didn't even know he was, you know, a costume. Well, I thought it was computer generated.
Well, he was the voice of the fucking character.
And see, that could have been computer generated as well. I mean,
anyway, I ain't even got to the crazy part yet. We still on the good part, Brown Sugar. So
okay.
Liam Nelson brought it up this week when he was talking about the extreme backlash to the film. He said the fans robbed Jar Jar Binks actor Ahmad Best from a career that could have rivaled Eddie Murphy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, nobody even knew who Ahmad Best was. If he would have went and did some stand-up and would have been funny, nobody would have said, oh, that's the dude that did Jar Jar Binks, unless he was dumb enough to tell people, hey, I was Jar Jar Binks in Phantom Menace. And they've been like, boo. And that.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been like there's all kind of Hollywood secrets. So you mean to tell me you couldn't keep that one?
That would have been the one that I would have kept. You don't see Halle Berry talking about how good of a time I had as Catwoman.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like,
wow.
One, I didn't know your name till you put it out here to talk about this stupid stuff. Really? You were sad because people didn't like a racist caricature. That's how sad that is. It's like a pathetic, and I ain't meaning to be mean, but it's like, it's almost pathetic. It's like, it's a racist caricature. And it was universally panned because it was a racist caricature. And quite frankly, that movie sucked. And that character sucked. It was like, when they didn't make him a bad guy hiding in plain sight, it was like, then really? That's supposed to be... See, because not understanding that folks don't think Stephen Fetchit comic relief is funny anymore, which is basically what Jar Jar Binks was.
Yeah. I mean...
It's crazy. Ludicrous. Mike Tyson ludicrous. It's Mike Tyson ludicrous, where I'm spitting on you.
He's had quite a few acting roles, though, since. So, I mean, they haven't been good movies, but...
Right, but,
he's,
I mean...
What
is Liam Nelson smoking? Because he's smoking or snorting that good stuff. And he said, yeah, he could have rivaled Eddie Murphy. Really? Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's where you got to go and smack that crack pipe out of his hand. It's like, dude, put that shit down.
I'm just not understanding any of it.
There's nothing to stand there.
I just don't understand. I mean, I feel bad for him that he felt that he needed to take his life over something that, I mean, only people in Hollywood would know that that was him.
Right.
And maybe that's the problem. Maybe they kind of shunned him, so I could see where he would be, you know, kind of.
Well, no, look,
the movie
didn't work, and you just got to understand, as a black actor in Hollywood, you're probably not going to get a lot of opportunities unless Right, so if he would have got famous, so basically he's saying that if the Yabba Dabba Doo actor... If that would have went over well, then he would have got to play a whole lot more racist caricatures.
Or maybe he just felt like he would have got more opportunity to play more racist characters. He didn't even get the opportunity to do it, so maybe
that's what I'm guessing, because I can't see anything else that could come positively from that. But rival with Eddie Murphy, I'm like, Liam Neeson on that good stuff.
I mean, it seems like if that was the case, then they could have overlooked that whole Jar Jar Binks thing. I would think.
It was overlooked. Like I said, that character was hated so much that a fan edited every Jar Jar Binks scene out of the movie. And millions of people watched it online and said they loved it. That's how bad it was. I mean, I don't even have to say anything else. That right there is the testimony. Millions of people. It wasn't like a few thousand. No, it was millions. But that's just me.
And what are Star Wars fans called? What are you guys called that are fans?
Oh, just Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Star Wars. There's the two fans, right? There's two franchises that most people associate with: Star Wars and Star Trek.
Star Trek, I know you're a Trekkie.
Right. Star Wars, you know, remember there's a lot of people who want to be Jedi's. Because Star Wars is, I think, even though the movie sucked more, they were universally panned and accepted more in society because there's a Church of the Jedi. There's an actual Church of the Jedi.
Okay.
Yeah, that right there tells you all you need. There's no Church of Star Trek. There's no Trekkie. There's people who are studying to be Jedis right now, though. They got lightsabers and everything. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Those are people who they probably contribute to the high sales of lotion in certain areas.
Lotion and tissue, huh?
Lotion and tissues. Yes, they, you know, if like you could say, like maybe when comic book convention comes, the sale of lotion goes up, then there's comic book convention coming. But there's one everywhere now, so you can't really tell. There's a spike, but yeah. I did notice and I guess part of the social commentary that I never really got to during the pandemic. There was a lot of lotion that was gone. A lot of baby oil just wasn't on the shelf.
True.
I did notice that. So Maybe people wanted to moisturize their situation. Or maybe they wanted to moisturize
their situation. I've had this issue with soap and lotion and coconut oil. So maybe. I mean, I could see.
What issue you have with soap, lotion, and coconut oil?
I've just been hoarding it, so.
Okay. So you think they're just hoarding lotion? Just because?
I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason to, you know, that doesn't benefit me like it would a guy, lotion. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's just social commentary. It's just an observation.
Yeah.
Just an observation. A lot of that baby oil was missing. It's like y'all didn't have babies. So I don't know. I don't know. A lot of that coconut oil wasn't around. Thankfully, I have my share. I'm just saying. Those oils became scarce. Maybe a lot of people just wanted to make sure that, you know, they weren't ashy. I respect that. I respect the non-ashy game that goes on out here in these streets. I respect that. So for all you people out there who, you know, if you was doing your thing and you got your lotion, you got your coconut oil, you got your baby oil, and you got a whole shelf full of it, I got mad love for you. Smooth Drama. As a crew, we got mad love for you.
As a crew?
As a crew. We
okay.
we're a crew, right? You know, most folks like you. We respect your moisturizing. Your moisturizer game. I got respect for that. All right. Well. We don't go on break. This is De La Soul. Oodles of O's.
I'm talking about the food.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was De La Soul, Oodles of O's, 347-826-7435, 347-826-7435.
All right. So, guess what?
What?
On TikTok, apparently, there's a lot of people who are calling Dr. Phil Daddy.
What?
He's got his followers, and apparently they keep calling him Daddy.
What does that mean?
Lori, yeah.
You are not the father, or... Hey, Daddy. I mean, like, what kind
of thing is that? Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? Because it's like Dr. Phil. And so he has his You Have to Stop post. I've never really watched Dr. Phil. I just went, what I've seen from him, he just looks like a goober. Sounded like a goober. And I remember the original goober. That's the only goober that I have in my life. I don't have extra goobers. So I just moved on. And so never watched it, but apparently he's very popular. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And so he came out and says, I hate to break it to you, but I ain't your daddy. And your real daddy is probably getting his feelings hurt. I appreciate the support. It's a little weird, but I appreciate the support.
Yeah, so, I'm not even understanding that.
Yeah, so,
I mean, I haven't watched him either in years, so. Yeah, I don't know if it was, does it relate to a show, an episode that he did, or.
Apparently in the comments, he is Daddy, which, I mean, yeah, I can't picture it, never want to picture it. I just think it's funny. Dr. Phil as your daddy. Like you said, hey, Daddy, it's like, I almost threw up in my mouth there. It's like, sometimes you think about something and you're just like,
So they're actually saying that he's attractive? Is that what you're saying? That he's attractive? He's a daddy like attractive?
Hey, you I don't have TikTok, so
I don't either. So that's what I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, are they saying he's hot, or are they calling, you know what I mean? I'm just confused as to what this daddy means.
Yeah, exactly. I'll agree with him on that. That's a little weird. It's a little weird. Yeah. And I mean,
there's nothing like sexual appealing to him to me, but I'm not, you know.
That's what makes him hot. That's what makes him hot. He just looks like your regular old something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Yeah. Dr. Phil and that sex appeal, you ain't think we'd be saying that in the same sentence?
Not at all.
You know what? I feel weird talking about this. It's almost like when we was talking about R. Kelly, right? It's like you just feel weird talking about it.
I never feel weird talking about anything, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, I do. Yeah.
Everything is weird, but I don't feel weird talking about it. It's very weird, but I don't feel weird.
All right, well, see, not all of us is gangster like you. So,
I mean,
yeah.
People are weird, so.
Yeah, you gangster like that, so we all have to bow to your gangsterism.
Yeah.
Oh, but hey, there's some more clarity in the world. Andrew Gillum, the senator who had the hotel incident.
Yeah, I was off of that.
Yeah, he opened up and says, you know what? I don't identify as gay, but I do identify as bisexual. And that is something that I've never shared publicly before. You just all know about it now.
I mean, he kind of had to say that, though. I mean, he could have said he was gay, but if he's married, then people are going to be like, oh, his poor wife. So, I mean, I think people are still like, his poor wife.
Well, no, because she was there. He was on somebody's show.
She was at the hotel. Yeah, Tamron Hall. She was at the hotel, or she was at...
No,
she was on Tamron Hall with him.
Yeah, she was on the Tamron Hall show.
After the fact.
Well, she said that yes, they've been together for 11 years, and he's been upfront with her about his sexuality.
Yeah.
He says that people just don't understand bisexuality. They think they can wrap their heads around gay, but bisexuality is something different.
And see, I don't think that people can't understand that. I think people do understand it. Whether they agree with it or not is another issue. I think people understand it. What they don't understand is you committing to someone of whatever sex and then having to sneak around to have this other life.
Yeah, but
I think that's more of the problem than you actually being that person.
Well, no. See, so what he goes on to say is, all I care about is what's between us and what agreement we make. So he's implying that him and his wife had that agreement.
Yeah, but the thing about him being a public figure, because see, the whole thing is because the two men, which one was an escort, the two men videotaped and took pictures of him passed out in his vomit and high. So that's the issue. The issue isn't you being bisexual. The issue is you putting yourself in compromising positions as a public figure.
Okay.
See, because to me, he's not even like dealing with like what the truth is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
he's dealing like, oh, I'm bisexual. So then that makes it okay for you to be in the hotel room with these two men and doing drugs and you pass out?
Well, technically, what did he do wrong?
Well, if you're a public figure, you're not supposed to be dealing with escorts. You're not supposed to pay for sex, and you're not supposed to do drugs. I mean, that's everybody, right? That's just not public figures. I thought that was against the law in general.
Technically,
nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's the problem then. That's the problem.
See, why
that's
are you trying to be technical, though? Why are you trying to be technical,
that you're bisexual. Because I think in this day and age, people are really tired of sexuality. You know what I mean? I'm tired of the trans, the non-binaries, the gays, the straights, the heteros, the homos. I mean, it's just whatever now.
Yeah,
I think
it's
when you're
a
public figure,
remember.
Though, you're put up to a higher standard, which people don't seem to understand. And I think that when you're a public figure, you're like, well, I'm human too. Yeah, and nobody's expecting you not to, but I think people do expect you to try harder not to be involved in situations like that.
You are just like me. I am just like you. I'm just a human. I'm just a human being.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could care less. I mean, you know, I feel like to each his own. And if, you know, him and his wife have that agreement and, you know, nobody is privy to that, which they shouldn't be. You know, it's not like, you know, I don't go around talking about my, you know, what me and my significant other, you know, what our deals are or whatever. So I don't feel like he should, you know, have to make that public. But I do feel like he shouldn't be in hotel rooms with drugs and prostitutes.
Well, you can't do it at home.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question, Brown Sugar. Where should he do his drugs and hookups with male escorts?
Well, I feel like he needs to find a real relationship so he won't have to pay for it.
But who
if
says
all that
that's not his real
law,
relationship?
That's my thing.
It's
well,
a tax write-off.
Paying for it, it can't be.
It's a tax write-off.
Exactly. So then how is that legal?
See, that's the problem with you. You always trying to talk about the realities of things. It's like, look,
just wondering.
He came out, and now you got to give him some LGBTQ love, because he's been misunderstood this whole time.
I don't have to.
Hey.
The only thing I have to do is not disrespect him. I don't have to agree with that, though.
Well, hold on. He's bisexual.
I don't
bisexual.
Have to agree with his lifestyle. I don't have to agree with him being bisexual. I just don't have to disrespect him in that.
Okay.
See, always hating.
No. And see, that's the problem with society now. We can't ever disagree with anything. We have to agree with everything. Whether we agree or not, we have to pretend to like it. I don't have to like anything that I don't like. I just cannot be disrespectful towards that person.
All right. So,
and we can agree to disagree.
Okay. So we're agreeing to disagree. I'm gonna flip it onto another subject with another person who actually don't know. What she identifies is one thing, but apparently the Swiss High Court says she can't identify as that or compete in her sport because she was just born like that. So Caster Semenya, there was a ruling. Caster Semenya is an Olympic runner, and she's been winning, you know, consistently. Caster Semenya is a black woman, Africa. She was born with inverted testes. She has a higher level of testosterone than most women. And so the Swiss court ruled
last week that she couldn't compete in any races between 400 meters and a mile unless she underwent medical interventions to lower her testosterone levels. Her body naturally produces more testosterone, and so she can't compete in her signature event, 800 meters, which she has won the Olympic gold medal twice. What'd you think of that?
I don't know. Let her run with the men and see how she does with that.
Yeah, but she's a woman. She was born that way. See, she's not like those East German swimmers who had mustaches and had like clitorises that were bulging out like penises. She wasn't them because they were taking steroids. She's just like that. She has the inverted testes. So, which means that she has both. It's just she doesn't have testicles that stick out. She has, you know, she has a vagina. But yeah, apparently she has a set of balls inside of her also.
Yeah.
So it's technically she's a woman. She's just a very, very strong woman. And because she's dominated the Olympics twice. And so this is the funny part, right? Because you hear about all over the world people are competing because they say, "Oh, I'm trans, and so now I'm competing as women." We've heard of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because Caster Semenya had an operation. Caster Semenya didn't have an operation. Caster Semenya is being Caster Semenya. Period. I don't know.
And I agree. You are kind of put in a predicament because it's like, well, you don't know.
What's the predicament? She didn't have an operation. She didn't have an operation.
I agree, but she has a higher level of testosterone, though. So if that
that's not her fault.
And faster, and I agree. So then, I mean, because we live in a culture now to where people want in sports especially, want a level playing field.
Yeah, but the playing field's level.
I mean, I would think it was too, but they feel like it's not because she has, they do feel like she has an advantage because she is born that way.
Okay, so
it's just like if you're born, so that would be her superpower. It reminds me of The Incredibles when Jack couldn't run at track because he was faster. Well, that wasn't his fault.
Okay, but
that's
see,
the way he was born.
Right, but what we're talking about here is, so I can compete if I choose to switch, but if I was born that way, I mean, because it's like, so you're going to penalize someone because they're 7 foot and they play basketball and they're good at it. See, because this is what we're talking about. This is the crux of the argument. She's just born that way. There was nothing that she did to enhance herself. She just trained like a regular person. That's it. And so you can't penalize people for being too tall. You can't penalize, I mean, you penalize Michael Phelps because he was a taller swimmer and he can swim faster than everybody else. I mean, because that's what we're talking about.
And I agree. I ain't even
talking about no racism. The fact that she's the black woman that's dominating that sport. And I haven't heard a lot of people sitting up defending her. Olympic Simone Biles, she stood in solidarity with her. Like, wait a minute, You know, it's wrong on so many levels. And as she says, once again, men having control over women's bodies. Because at the end of the day, Castor Semenya is a woman. Period.
True.
There's nothing else there. She's just a woman, and she can't compete in her sport. She can't make a living because you're ruling. Well, she has an unfair advantage because she trains, and her body just happens to do this naturally, better than anybody else's body.
I don't agree with. I don't think they're ruling. You know, it's fair, but at the same time, I mean, I don't think people know what to do in these new and different times of, you know, sexuality or changing your sex or
it's not how you identify.
I know for her, but it is, but it's not because this has never happened before, so it's new in that aspect. You know what I mean? Nobody's ever had to like make a decision like that before.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying her condition is new.
Well, she shouldn't have to. She shouldn't have to make a choice, and now she can't participate in her field because, well, you're just better than everybody else. So we're going to rule against you.
Yeah, and I agree. I think she should be able to compete too, but I think in the way the world has changed, like what you're saying, the transgenders wanting to compete, you know, that change from men to women and they want to compete in women's sports, I think if that was never an issue, they probably wouldn't give it a second thought.
But she's not transgender.
I know that. I'm not saying she is. I think that puts people get confused, though. They don't know what to think, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm thinking that, and I'm saying if she was a white female, this wouldn't even have came up. I'm just going to say
that's it. Possible.
Because she's not
that's
trans.
Possible.
She's not on drugs.
Nope.
She was born.
Nope.
That. Period. That was it. Yeah. I mean, we'll hear about some other stuff. I mean, it's one of them stories nobody's really talking about, and it's kind of funny. And I don't hear anybody, I mean, because, hey, yeah, she has inverted testes. She can't help it. I was born with this. You know, I mean, it's like anybody, if you were born a hermaphrodite, and you chose one, whatnot, you shouldn't be penalized or ostracized or even talked about because you was born that way. It's one thing for people to, I want to switch. It's whatever. I don't care. But at the same time, a person should be able to, her livelihood. So her livelihood goes away because somebody is jealous of her success and takes that away from her. I'm saying that's what I see. That's how I see it. And I mean, because I've been following Castor Semenya for over a decade now. And I, you know, it's fascinating the science behind her. And you know, because people have been talking about her for a while. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She's just being her. Ain't bothering nobody. There's no politics behind her. You know, it's one of those things where we hear when people talk about athletes, just shut up and dribble or shut up, play football, shut up and entertain us. Yeah, Castor Semenya is in the news because she can't just shut up and entertain you because apparently Castor Semenya dominating 2 Olympics in a row is too much. We just can't have that. That's it. So, oh,
And by the way, there's a new ad out that says, minorities, roll up your sleeves and go out and get that vaccine.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so if you're black, you're Mexican,
and when you're invited to do something, you can decline, right? You can say, no, thank you, I'd rather not. Okay.
There's a whole ad for it. Come on out, roll up your sleeves, take this vaccine. Even though the vaccine was halted because of, and they put the word in, maybe adverse side effects. So even though the president came out and said, hey, vaccine's going to be ready in a month. Even though they said there's maybe adverse side, they didn't just say side effects. They said maybe adverse side effects. It's like
maybe
it's worse. Maybe it's not. Maybe you'll die. Maybe you'll be permanently scarred.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe something, you'll get a growth, and maybe you won't. Maybe in 10 years you'll have cancer. Maybe you won't.
You imagine a growth, right? It's like you just grow something somewhere that you wasn't expected. Like, you imagine if you, like, you took that vaccine and you start growing a penis on your chest. It's like,
oh my God. See, don't do that. Don't say that.
I'm just saying. We start talking about weird stuff that can happen. We talk about weird stuff that can happen. I know. It's a bad visual, but still.
Wasn't there a movie? There was a movie. What movie was that? With Arnold Schwarzenegger, and in that one, and he had the baby coming out of his stomach, and all those people, they had the mutants, and one of the mutants had three breasts. Yeah, that's what I think of.
Yeah, that was, I'm trying to think of that movie, and I can't think of it.
That movie? And that's one of, like, I love Arnold's movies, too, so.
Yeah, he was a double spy, where he was sent to kill, the guy that had the baby coming out of his stomach. And that's what we're talking about with these drugs. I mean, because I always read the side effects, and we haven't done our drug in a month in a while. We have to pull that one back out. But you start Total Recall. You start talking about these crazy drugs that, well, hey, it's supposed to give you relief from this, but it'll close up your throat, get you highs, make your eyelashes.
I'm always amazed at the drugs and the side effects are cancer.
Right. I'm trying to cure some stuff.
Cancer.
But you're going to give me cancer. Like, okay.
Yeah. So I might have indigestion, which I could probably take a Pepto-Bismol or a Prilosec or some kind of antacid. So I'm going to take
eating all
the
grilled onions.
Or I can change my diet even.
Yeah.
But I take this one medicine that the doctor prescribes, and then I get cancer? And that's a good thing for me?
I can't breathe at night. I won't stop bleeding if I prick myself, get a paper cut, and die.
Your tongue swells. Your eyes might bulge and your tongue swells. Yeah, I'm not understanding these side effects. Whatever happened to the drowsiness side effect? They don't have those drugs anymore that may cause drowsiness.
We don't deal with that. Just going to sleep, that's nothing. We need real side effects. It may make your toenails fall off, but... It's like, wait, I don't have toenails no more.
I want my toenails.
Right, exactly. I'm just saying, we start talking about the craziness that happens. Oh, it may cause kidney failure. Oh, yeah, that's what I want.
I want to stop my indigestion, but have kidney failure.
Right.
So, yeah, they won't say what the adverse side effects are, but they put the ad out, roll up your sleeves. Come on out here. Take this vaccine. Y'all tell me. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah,
no,
I'll wait.
Yeah, and so Miss T and is like, yep, he can take it. I will wait. Yeah, I will wait too.
For some years.
Yeah. I have the 5-year rule. Anything that comes out, I give it 5. I got 5 on it. So how many people fall out in 5 years? Then we can talk.
Exactly.
Or how many people grow a penis on their chest? I don't know.
And see, I feel like that's like not, I wouldn't prefer that, but if I had to pick between that and cancer, I'm doing the penis. I just am. I'm not getting cancer. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
I'm just not.
So I had a choice, indigestion or cancer. That's a tough one. Man, this indigestion is killing me, but that cancer will really kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So, yeah. So, everybody's coming. Your president said it should be here before the election. So, you can fall out before you even have a right to vote. See how that works.
Well, maybe people who trust him will take it, and that's what will happen.
Oh, we know it's going to
happen. All of his believers, all the people who were drinking the bleach or thought about drinking the bleach, but they saw that people were dying. Maybe they'll. Yeah. Maybe
you
got
to
warn
people.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to go on break. It's Ghostface Killer. Heard it all before.
Yes, we like to thank you. 277 corner. You know, you just want to say it, get on drugs and all that. You feel about that?
I love that, I love that.
Yeah, that's right, baby. But no doubt, we're going to get to my man right now. His name Ghostface. Check this joint out right here. Yo. Yeah, I'm the mighty Joe, clever rap. Live off a mighty gold tongue and yak. You be your main tile, brought it back. 2 horses, big ass ranch with 12 horses. Scarface freeze when I speak for all forces. Fuck the drugs, don't fuck the cuts, get your noises. 2 years been through like 6 divorces. Now they're talking for my business in the street, but I'm like cement, I rock over beats. Kill Lucas with no hands and leave when the weed stop. Like my bitch is better when they roll, we rock, see high. Let's have a dose. My brother was born deacons. We had a whole church praying for ghosts. When we speak, we give sermons and switch our names over permits. The fix that you might get burned with, God body fly, automobiles with grills. 2016, nigga, we can take off the wheel. A George Jackson, Harrison, y'all sit still, chill. Peace to Queens, oh, the God of all real. It's a takeover, break over, make over for 20-ass seconds. You want in a takeover, watch the bengals. My fingers got the 40 cock from all angles. Fuck the road, nigga, my dog, chain to hang you. Chain is not playing with our train to pay you. Fuck over.
Getting that bread, that's right. And the only one rocking.
technology and all that. No doubt, but just, we're still nailing it. We are at it. Praise the Lord.
Welcome back. Ghostface Killer, heard it all before. 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So let's just go. We're just going to go right in. Ain't no need to wait.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
All right. So I'm guessing most people know the family for Breonna Taylor. They settled $12 million. Nobody got arrested, though. They just settled.
Yeah, well.
I'm just thinking. So, yes, they paid $12 million. But still, if you had a choice, I'm guessing they would rather have Breonna Taylor than that $12 million.
No amount of money could be enough. I mean, that's a sad thing. No amount of money is enough.
So, through all that they did, you know, hey, she did put all her business out in the street. Well, she was having sex with this dude and that dude. Had nothing to do with them busting in her house and shooting her. Then trying to bribe, quote unquote, coerce the boyfriend and ex-boyfriend. Like, you know what? We give you less time if you cop to her, you cop to this deal, but we're going to put her on as a co-defendant. Like, she was committing crimes, but she was not. You know, they went through the whole scenario.
Yeah.
To see that none of that bullshit worked. And then finally, And so I want to say this is a testimony to everyone who would never stop saying her name. That's unfortunately still the people who killed her in her home did not get arrested. Yeah, it's just. It's one of those things. Yes, they got money. They got $12 million, but there's not a penny that's worth the life of your child. So as parent, you know, the money comes to the family. It's like, okay, yeah, we're the family set financially for a while, but. At what cost? I mean, because people never think about the cost.
Mm-hmm.
What the weight is for this? I mean, psychologically, you know, parents who lose their children, there's psychological toll there. You know, children who lose their parents, it's a psychological toll there, and then we're talking about the manner in which they lost their loved one. And, you know, when you say your loved one was murdered for something that they didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that that right there is a stripe. You know, because I'm going to guess the parents, when they wake up, morning, noon, night, and you have the days when you know, when the day comes up, when she was murdered, her birthday, you know, any significant days, it'll there's a toll that it's a tax. It's a mental tax that's never addressed. And so people say, oh yeah, well, they got paid at least, and you know, and like, yeah, then it's over, but it's never over.
Never.
Because you have that stripe, you have that scar. That's a tough scar to get up off of. You know, it's that scab that just keeps peeling open. And you forget about the scab till you shower and you feel that sting, or you know you go swimming and you feel that sting from that open sore. I'm just saying that's what these events are like. It's like I would always say that racism, brown sugar is like paper cut, right? It's like you just that systematic racism. It's a steady paper cut. You just keep getting cut, and mm-hmm. you know, it's like an annoyance, right? You get stopped. It's annoying. You get profiled. It's annoying. Somebody, jump back on the elevator. It's annoying. You hear people talking about you and hating you, not because you did anything, but just because you just woke up that day. It's annoying. You read about stuff that's racist. It's annoying. I mean, all of those are like paper cuts. And then you'll see the real cut. That's, you know, the murder that happens, systematic racism. When black folks get killed, and then people don't look at the cuts, that psychological cuts that you deal with when you see a young man can walk down the street with a gun and get universal support on TV. You know, like he's heroic for going to murder people. And so that's the way that it always is. See, and people look at it like, oh, all these incidents, they it doesn't affect you. It shouldn't affect you. It didn't happen to you. But that's where the empathy comes in, because actually it does happen to me. So it's like when somebody is making fun of somebody that's like me, that means they're making fun of me. Mm-hmm. You know, the little, you've heard this before, Brown Sugar, when they say, hey, You're well spoken. You're a credit. it's like that Issa Rae. You done punched them in the throat and said this rhyme talking about I murdered you and your family in your head, but then you're just like looking at them like,
mm-hmm.
That's
smile, that's, that get out of my face smile.
Right. Because I didn't kill you. Right. I killed you five times in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Or I made a meteor fall and break all your toes. It's just bam.
Yeah.
You just got that pain that's never going to go away, because that's the pain that we have when we have to deal with the subliminal shit. See, because people gloss over the silly subliminal shit that's there every day. It never goes away. It just sits there.
It's like we talk about this smoke outside. Yeah, the fire is not biased, but we're being systematically broken down by this smoke that's in the air.
Exactly.
And it's nowhere near. Oh, yeah. And we're going to feel the effects of it for years to come. Maybe the smoke caused by what some of us can say is just arson, right? Can be taking days, months, years off our lives. That's racism. That is racism. I mean, as a matter of fact, funny thing is, they did a study in Harvard. The judge asked Harvard, some students at Harvard, why are so many black and brown people in jail? So they did the research and came back and said, oh, systemic racism. That's all. They couldn't find no other reason but systemic racism. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people who deserve to go to jail. But we know there are some people, they're not, as I call it, fit for human consumption. Society is not for them. They need to be in the cage because whatever happened to them, they don't have the coping skills to be able to function in normal society. Mm-hmm. This ain't for them. But then there's the people who are in jail for little shit that was not even important. And we're not even going to talk about the folks that was set up. You know, they didn't do the murder. They didn't do the rape. You know, we just talking about the inordinate amount of disproportional bad treatment that's slanted. It's like that teeter totter, right? It's like the Incredible Hulk is on one end of the teeter totter, and then there's you on the other. He's like, can I be on the ground,
exactly.
Please?
Exactly.
I just want to be on the ground.
So
I mean,
do we start off with the Incredible Hulk, or do we start off with Bruce Banner?
Nah, you start off with the Incredible Hulk.
Oh,
and you just hope he turns into Bruce Banner. Like, he falls asleep, and then you can get off the teeter-totter because you're just tired of being up there. You know, because what happens is, if you get off the teeter-totter, just like in society, they get mad. Like, what? But you don't want to be on the teeter-totter no more? We thought the teeter-totter was cool. We thought it was fair. Man, it's hard being the Hulk out here. Everybody's complaining about being on the teeter-totter, like they're always up in the air. What? I'm just doing the teeter-totter. See, it's silly argument, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we've heard the stories. Oh, you know, you see people, it's hard being the white guy, da-da-da-da-da-da, because basically society is asking you to treat people as you would be treated. And it's like, it's too much. Like, what? I got to treat you with respect? I got to respect you? I got to talk right. I gotta think that you hold value. It's too much.
Well, at some point, some people are just asking to be left alone. You don't even have to just leave me alone. You don't even have to acknowledge me. Just let me live my life in peace. So if that means you're not acknowledging me when I walk down the street, I'm fine with that.
Right.
Just let me go to work. Let me, you know, take care of my family. Let me live my life. And that's even too hard for them. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know what? We're not gonna end this segment like that, though. You know what we're going to do?
Okay.
We're going to talk about something good. You remember how we always talk about, we need to talk about something good?
Yeah, some happiness.
All right. So in Florida, they have overturned a 13-year ban due to racism allegations.
What is the ban?
Oh, you couldn't wear baggy pants. It was illegal since 2007. It's been illegal for men and women to wear baggy pants that expose the top of their undergarments in Opa-locka, Florida. First, there's a place called Opa-locka in Florida. I'm stuck right there first.
Opa-locka.
What the?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like if you live in Opa-locka, your life is over with anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like three people living there and they all have a tooth between them. So.
Anyway, in Opa-locka, Florida, they repealed the legislation against saggy pants, which has been accused of targeting black communities. So now, guess what? If you're in Opa-locka, pull your pants down, homie.
I mean, I feel like, not that it should be illegal, but I feel like that style needs to just go out anyway. You know, the bell bottoms go out of style. I mean, yeah, they come back around, and you know, things go and they come and they come and they go. I just think that just needs to go. I'm just tired of seeing underwear, boys' underwear, men's underwear. And I'm tired of seeing their ass, too, because a lot of times they don't even wear. Remember they used to wear, like, the baggy boxers? Now they wear the tight underwear. And their whole butt is hanging out. And I'm like, for real? Are we encouraging this? Are we like accepting this? And it's like, oh, okay. Well, if I can get me a woman dressed like this, then I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Yes. Women are. Look, if there's a dude and he's sagging and his drawers is hanging out, and the women just don't matter. I can't even see your face. Because I see your draws. If you just stop talking to these dudes, that style goes away tomorrow. See, it's sort of like it's like I always say when you know women talk about their nails and their toes. It's like I haven't known too many dudes that talk about women and their nails and their toes. I know a lot of guys in my life. And I can't really recall that conversation ever happening. And I'm old.
I don't think men talk about it with each other, but men do talk about it with women.
Okay.
I have been asked, do I get my nails and toes done? Do I wear matching underwear and bra sets and all that? So
yeah, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. So
right.
That's what I'm saying. That's a different thing. What we're talking about here is men do that because they can still attract women. Now, it used to be it was trying to attract another man, right? I mean, we know the history of this says if I'm sagging, I'm saying to a dude in jail, hey, I'm available. You can hit this tonight. Right? Now.
I mean, I still feel like it's saying that, even if they're on the street.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't
look.
I think most women are looking at men like that and, like, attracted to, I don't know, maybe there are some women that are attracted to men.
Yes, there are. Look, I see old bums doing it. I see grown, quote-unquote, responsible men doing it who have gainful employment. That's how they dress when they're not at work. I've seen it. And it's like, I'm going to blame the ladies. Ladies, I'm just saying it. Ladies, if y'all stop you don't even pay them no mind. Like, you know what? If I see your draws, you can't even get my attention. If you just stopped it, it would go away. I give it a month, and everybody will pull their pants up if women just stop talking to them. Unless, you know, they want the guys to talk to them. I'm just saying. It would happen.
Well, we already know that's not going to happen.
Yes, well, that's what I'm saying. Because women like it. It seems like it's something cool. I've never understood the whole sagging my pants phenomenon. I'm not wearing a belt. But, you know, we grew up, we were a little mischievous, and every now and again, you had to run away. You had to run. And so doing a lot of running, I couldn't afford to have to hold on to my pants and run at the same time. That's a recipe for getting caught.
Yeah.
Just a recipe for getting caught. I'm just saying. So maybe that's just a part of the psychology. The psychology fits the physicality in this society because, you know, they now, everything they do, they brag about all the crimes they commit. You know, we've talked about how they talk about all the bad stuff they did.
Yeah, or they'll go on live.
Social media. Show people
videos.
Their drugs. Right. They go live talking about their drugs. You know, people snitch on themselves constantly now. It's like a rite of passage. If you haven't snitched on yourself on social media, people don't even respect you. It's like, what? This generation, they look at you like, what? You ain't snitching on yourself? Come on. What's wrong? Mm-hmm. You ain't real. I mean, because real is fake and fake is real now?
Yeah.
Just saying. That's what I'm seeing. It's just a casual, psychological, philosophical observation. What makes this that style? I mean, it's been around since I was a teenager. Scary. Think about it.
Oh, really? I didn't know it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. You think that it would go away, but unfortunately, it has not. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. For Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. If you want to continue the conversation, we're at smoothdrama.com in the chat room. Come holla at us. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.